We're speaking today about the Matnas Kahuna, and in particular, the relationship between the Matnos Kahuna to the Matnos Leviya. Let's give a little bit of background and introduction, and then we're going to go from there. Okay, let's go. Okay, so Torah Del Parshas Korach as follows. We know that there are 24 Matnos Kahuna, and the Torah in Perek Yiches of Parshas Korach does discuss at length elements of the different Matnos Kahuna which exist. In the course of that conversation about the Matnos Kahuna, in the same Perek Yiches, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph and onwards, the Torah also speaks about that Leviim also get Matanos. Leviim also get certain things. As an example, Levnei Levi Nesati Kol Meiser Bi Yisrael Nachla, that Leviim, they get something which is called Meiser. Meiser is a tenth of the produce which grows, you give it to a Levi. We are told that Leviim also are Chayev in some of, although not all of the Matnos Kahuna. Leviim, as an example, don't separate Pidyon Haben, but Leviim do separate Trumas Meiser. So we're told that Leviim do get certain Matanos. Part of the question that we are going to explore is to what extent is there similarity between the Matnos Kahuna and the Matnos Leviya? To what extent are they given for similar reasons, for a similar purpose, or alternatively, are the Matnos Leviya considered to be given for a very, very different purpose and towards a very different end? What that relates to also is perhaps a broader question about the status of a Kohen in general and the status of Leviim in general. We'll see some significant nafkaminas and issues which emerge specifically about this point. We'll see that it has certain halach lemaisa relevant also, the relative status of a Kohen and a Levi, and to what extent can understanding of their Matnos Kahuna really give us some context and some insight in terms of exactly what is going on. So the first mahalach is going to be as follows. We're going to try to have 2.5 mahalachim. But the first mahalach is to point out that maybe Matnos Kahuna and Matnos Leviya are very, very similar. And in many ways that is based on a comment of the Ktzos. It's a little bit of a famous Ktzos. We referenced it in the first shiur that we had about the Matnos Kahuna, but it's a well-known Ktzos. And we'll point as follows. The Ktzos is speaking about the Shaila. Can you give a Katan, who's a Kohen, Pidyon HaBen? It's a Shaila which is in the Prichadash. Can you give a Katan, who's a Kohen, can you pay the Pidyon HaBen money to that kid? Or does it need to be a Gadol? The Prichadash held that it's Mutter, if it's good shtick also, that's, you know, to give to a Kohen who's a kid, Pidyon HaBen, it's a nice event. And that way, Prichadash is Mutter because there's something called Das Acheres Machne. What is Das Acheres Machne? If the one who's paying it is an adult and does have Das, then at times he can affect the Kinyan. So the Katan would be able to acquire it, he can affect the Kinyan. The Ktzos agrees with the Prichadash, but for a different reason. He says the reason why you're allowed to give a Katan, the reason why you can give a Katan the money, is not because a Katan's able to be Kona it, it's not because of Das Acheres Machne, but rather it's based on a Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Sameches, where the Gemara tells, where the Rishonim tell us that when it comes to paying a katan for money that he has earned by virtue of his job, the malachto v'schar tircho shelo mida oraisa, that when you pay a katan schiras, when you're paying a katan for doing a job for you, so that works as a chiyav, that works mida oraisa, the kid becomes the owner. Says the Ktzos, so too for the Matnos Kahuna. The Matnos Kahuna are viewed as schiras. They are viewed as in lieu of the work, chelef abodasa, in lieu of the work that the Kohanim do in the Beis HaMikdash. So we give them certain Matnos Kahuna. We give them the Matnos Kahuna because they work for us. And just like you can always pay a katan money if he worked for you and it belongs to him doraisa, so you can pay a katan, pidyon haben money, and it's going to belong to him, midoraisa. So even though a katan ordinarily can't be kona things doraisa, pidyon haben, he can because it comes chelef avodasa. It comes in lieu of his schiras. This is a major chiddush of the Ktzos. The Ktzos understands the main chiddush for us that the reason why you give Matnos Kahuna is because since the Kohanim work for us in the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes like they are our poelim. It's like schiras poelim. The Kohanim are like our workers, and because they are like our workers, that is why we pay them. What is intriguing about this Ktzos? So this is a Ara that Rav Asher Weiss makes, but many make before as well, at least I think, which is as follows. The idea that matanos are given chelef avodaso because in lieu of the work that people do is never mentioned in Parshas Korach in the context of the matnos kehuna. Where is it mentioned? In regards to the matnos levia. Leviim get things. The Torah tells us, as an example, in Parak Yichas, Pesach Aleph, Uvnei Levi, Nisad, they call Maiz, Yisrael, and Nachla, Chelef Avodasam, Asher Heim, Ovdim. That because the Leviim do work in the Beis HaMikdash, they guard the Beis HaMikdash, they sing in the Beis HaMikdash, because they do work, so that's why we give them Matnos Leviya. What do the Ktzos do? The Ktzos did something very intriguing. The Ktzos said, well, just like the Matanos, which the Leviim get, come as a form of payment for their work, so too the payment which a Kohen gets is also in lieu of and because of their work. He makes that jump. He takes that step, the Ktzos, from Matnos Leviya to Matnos Kehuna. Now, the Ktzos knows the Pasuk is only found in regards to Matnos Leviya. The Ktzos knows that so. What allowed the Ktzos to go from Matnos Leviya to Matnos Kehuna to suggest the same idea, which is relevant to Leviya, is also true by Matnos Kehuna, because the Ktzos understood that these two things are really interconnected. That Matnos Kehuna and Matnos Leviya are really, you would call it, like a homogeneous list. It's the same idea. It's the same idea. And if we're told that Matnos Leviya are Chelef Avodaso, so Mimela Matnos Kehuna must also be Chelef Avodaso. What's behind this idea on some level is an intriguing question. What is the relationship between a Kohen and a Levi? A Kohen and a Levi. We know that Kohanim come from Shevet Levi. All Kohanim come from Shevet Levi. To what extent are Kohanim and Leviim really interconnected? Kohanim are just, one way of saying it, like pumped up Leviim. They're Leviim with special rights. Leviim with special zechuyos. And if that's true, that's what Leviim happen to have, are these special rights, these pumped up zechuyos, so now we can understand a little bit about how the Ktzos could feel comfortable jumping from Leviim to Kohanim. Where else do you find this idea? You find it in a bunch of contexts. This Rashi points out, but one is the following. It's a Darchei Moshe. The Rama in Darchei Moshe quotes in Or Zarua. This Shaila comes up a lot. Is it better to pay a chazan for your shul or to have like a regular person sort of get up and daven? What is considered to be better? Some shuls are very into like the formal chazan, especially Yom HaNoraim time, pay for the formal chazan. Some shuls are very into people themselves, the community coming up in Daven. I believe anyone is holding an early 20th century American Jewish history, but I believe that was one of the innovations of the Young Israel movement. That part of the Young Israel movement was to have less of a formal chazan and to have a more active shul, which is a little bit more participatory. I believe, although this is not my area, that impacted even shul construction. That the way that they had people sit and where they were sitting, as far as like whether it was all more like a concert and watching the chazan sort of daven, and you were situated like sort of around sitting in your chair, like almost facing the chazan, or if you're facing more, you know, straight and it's like from the kehila, that was all part of the issue, I think. But you could take it or leave it. It says Dr. Mendes follows. It is appropriate to hire a chazan, to pay for a chazan. Okay, you can have your choice, you know, who's your chazan. Like, you know, not everyone needs a chazan. Not everyone needs someone wearing a hat, like one of those, like the chazan hats. Many of us do want that, but not all of us need it. But why should you pay? People will take it more seriously if you pay them money. People that do it and get a payment, so they take it more seriously. Says the Or Zarua, an amazing line. Kimosha hakohanim vahalevim b'mikdash hayu lokhen chumos v'maestros chelev avodasan. Says the Or Zarua, it's just like the kohanim and the levim that we would pay them manos kehuna because they worked, we'd pay them money. The Or Zarua includes together kohanim and levim chelev avodasan. We're paying them money in lieu of their work. The additional piece, by the way, here, for the Or Zarua, depending on how you read it, is that partially one of the reasons why we give them these matanos is because it's a way of conveying a certain sense of seriousness and focus that we demand when people come along and do things. Sometimes, like with the volunteer job, you don't take it so seriously. No, you get paid for this. We're giving you a tenth of all of our money for this job, So it impacts you a little bit. But we see that Kohanim and Leviim, in many ways, are really there. The second Mahalach is a very, I think, a relatively well-known Orachayim. The Orachayim, it's a very important point. The Orachayim says, I think Yesh Chalik, based on the Psukim, in a very fundamental way, between the Matnos Kehuna and the Matnos Leviya. Between the Matnos Kehuna and the Matnos Leviya. What's the fundamental difference? The point that the Orachayim, you know, it only says with Levi that it's Chelef Avodasam. It only says that by Levi that it's because they work, it's also because they don't get Nachla in Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't say that about Kohanim. About Kohanim, it doesn't say that. When it comes to Kohanim, one doesn't get the impression that it's really given over in lieu of their work. It happens to be, it's possible, points out the Orachayim, that part of the difference, if you look at the Kohanim, it almost sounds like Kohanim get it because they are Anashim Kedoshim. Kohanim get it because they are more Kadosh. The Leviim get it because they're getting payments for their work. Says the Orachayim, that, by the way, is Derech Agav, why there is a fundamental distinction between what you pay Kohanim and what you pay Leviim. What's the difference? The matanos you give to Leviim, we'll come back to this point a little bit later, have no kedusha in them. Maisa Rishon, Bipashtas, you give a Levi, isn't kedusha because Leviim get regular payments. When I pay you for doing work for me, so we don't give you money, has kedusha. You're a regular person. Kohanim get it, what? Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Kohanim get it because they're a Nashim Kedoshim, which is why some of the Matnas Kehuna have a greater degree of Kedusha, because the Kohanim are getting it because they're more Kadosh and they're entitled to Kadosh things, but Leviim get it as payment for their work. So we have thus far as follows. Let's get this down a little bit. We have the, where's the eraser right now? No, not this one, the other one. We have as follows. When it comes to the Matnos Kehuna, Matnos Leviya, so we have the following idea. On the one hand, the Ktsos, as well as the Or Zaruah, according to Darchei Moshe, assume that they're the same, and both payments come as like a Schiris Poalim. According to the Or HaChaim, they're actually very, very different. Kohanim get it because they have a certain inborn Kedusha and holy things have to go to Kohanim. Leviim get it as a regular payment. They get it as a regular Schiris Poalim, which is why it doesn't really have Kedusha. There are two ways to deepen this question. One is as follows. Rashi in Maseches Erchin, one, this Rashi Weiss points out, and then we'll go with another way of saying it. Look at Rashi. Rashi points out like this. In Erchin and Daf Lamed Daled, in the context of Kohanim, he says, certain Kohanim don't get something, okay? Klomer mikoach didei kashak elahu. And what this is not a Matnas Kehuna. So what does Rashi say? Below mishulchan gavoa bischar avoda. It doesn't come from Hashem as payment for their work. What's going on here? So Rashi suggests the following Torah. Even for the Ktsos, and even for the Or Zaruah, Matnas Kehuna and Matnas Leviya both come as payments for work, but they are still different. The really important question is, who's actually making that payment? Matnos Leviya comes straight from us to the Leviim. I'm paying him for doing the job. And that, because it goes straight from me to him, those items don't have Kedusha at all. But Kohanim, if you remember, when I pay a Kohen, give him his Matnos Kehuna, there actually is a middle man, Kivyachol, that it really goes derech their bonus olam. I may look like I'm the one giving the Kohen it, but it really goes derech their bonus olam. I give it, but it goes through Hashem, who's then the one that hands it over and gives it over. In that sense, who is really paying the Kohanim for their avoda? Not us, but the Ribono Sha'olam. Like the Gemara has a discussion, Kohanim are certainly shluchim. They're certainly messengers, but are they shlucha didan or shlucha dirachmana? Are they really workers of the Ribono Sha'olam? In a certain sense, they really are workers of the Ribono Sha'olam, and that's why the Ribono Sha'olam is the one who really sort of pays them. So it's possible that everyone agrees it's given chelef avodasam. The question is, who's paying that money? Am I paying it for Matnos Leviya? Or the Kohanim paying it for Matnos Kehuna, who in fact is paying it. I think, and you'll move on to the more lemaisa part in a second, there is another way to argue that's as follows. We saw that there are 24 matnas kahuna. And one of the things that we've been trying to point out a little bit is that not all of the matnas kahuna, if you remember this, we'll go over it a little bit, are created equal. Some of the matnas kahuna that you get are incredibly kadosh. What's an example of that? The basar of a chatas or the basar of an asham. It's a karban that you get to eat that is kodesh kadashim. That's very, very chashiv. Some have kedusha, but not kodesh kadashim, like his portion of a shlamim or truma that he gets is kadosh, but not that. But some of the matnas kahuna have no kedusha at all. What's an example where there's no kedusha at all? The matnos behema, the zroa l'chayayim and keva. That there are certain parts of the animal, the cheek, the other, that certain parts of the animal that go to a kohen that have no kedusha whatsoever. So is it possible that what's really going on by the matnas kahuna is some of the matnas kahuna are like the matnas levia, and some of the matnas kahuna are not like the matnas levia. Some of the matnas kahuna are like the matnas levia, that they don't really have kedusha, and they're really given as a form of payment because you do work, therefore you're able to receive it. Some of the matnas kahuna are not given because of the work that you do, but they're given really mishulchan gavoa because you are so kadosh, you're the only address that can really receive it and take it. You're the only one that could receive the chatas and the asher. Because of the kedusha, it's not because of the work, but rather it's a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam that you are able to get. If that is true, we have the following, to be very, very clear. What's the relationship between matnas kahuna and levia? Simple part of the ketos, they're all the same. They're given because you do work, we therefore are going to pay you. Or achayim? No, matnas levia is because you're doing work, matnas kahuna is because you are more kadosh, Hashem gives you a gift, mishulchan gavoa, from God's table, we give you these items. It's possible that everyone agrees it's because of the work. The shaila is, who's paying you? Rashi and Erev can tell you again, am I paying you, or is the Ribono Shel Olam paying you? And it's possible that there is an additional mahalach, which is that who is going to get it? That maybe some are more like matnas levia, and some are less like matnas levia. What do they seem to be arguing about? Whether it's the same or it's considered to be different, what's really going on here? So we're going to make a suggestion. I think it's very much true. Rosenberg is part of it. Meshech Chachma has a lot of it. Elements of it in the Yerachayim, but we'll try and say that in the following way. How different are Kohanim and Leviim? How different are Kohanim and Leviim? I'll formulate it like this. We know that there are non-Jews. We know that there are then Yisraels. I'll even say even go more precise. We know there's something called Akam. In between Akam and Jew is something called an Eved Kanani. You're then considered to be a Yisrael. You're then considered to be a Levi. You're then considered to be a Kohen. There's different levels. Within Kohen, the next step is Kohen Gadol. There are different gradations and degrees of Kedusha that a person could have. One of the questions that you have sometimes is, how big is the gap from one to the other? How big of a jump is that? As an example, and there are differences. I'll say it in two extreme ways. I think we could all intuit that from an Orthodox religious perspective, the gap from non-Jew to Jew is a fairly significant, fairly big gap. Non-Jew to Jew is a Jew is not a pumped up non-Jew. No one have a line like that. Like a Jew, he's like an elevated non. No, it's a different chalos. It's a different chalos entirely. Many of us would not be surprised if we learned that the relationship between Kohen and Kohen Gadol is a little bit closer. Kohen Gadol is like a pumped up Kohen. And a regular Kohen is a Kohen Gadol, but it's not, you wouldn't call, maybe it's not like a whole new Metzias, like Gamre, a whole new reality, maybe not. Maybe it's more like a pumped up Kohen or things like that. So what's the gap between, what role does a Levi play in between a Yisrael and a Kohen? To say it a little bit differently, does a Levi also have Kedusha, the unique Kedusha, like a Kohen has Kedusha? Or is he more like a Yisrael that doesn't have that extra Kedusha? What's the status of a Levi? Status of a Levi. So the Beis Yosef writes in Or HaChaim, in Siman Kuf Chaf Chas, we all know this halacha. When a Kohen, and the Levim in the room? Yeah. That when a Kohen has to duchen, so who washes in the Tiyas Adayim? A Levi washes the Tiyas Adayim of a Kohen. The Beis Yosef wonders, like, why? Why is that so? Why is a Levi going to wash the hands of a Kohen? So the Beis Yosef writes that he found a Zohar. And it says in the Zohar, Matsasi Mefurash B'Medrash HaZohar Parshas Naso. I found in the Zohar that why do we have Levium washing hands? Because Levium are Kadosh. And we want to have Kadosh people washing the hands of the Kadosh Kohanim, of the Kadosh Kohanim before they engage in this act of duchening. We want to have Levium washing the hands because they have Kedusha also. And it makes sense to have Kadosh people washing the hands of the Kadosh Kohanim. What do you see according to the Beis Yosef, according to Zohar? That Levium also have Kedusha. Levium also have a degree of Kedusha. Schefter, I think, jokes sometimes that Levi Yitzhak, the Berditchever, also held that Levium have Kedusha because he named his Sefer Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi. Presumably he thought that Levium also had a degree of Kedusha. If you understand that Kohanim and Levium both have an element of Kedusha, they both are somewhat elevated, and therefore the gap between Kohanim and Levim is not as great. Kohanim have more Kedusha, Levim have less Kedusha, but they all really do have Kedusha because Kohanim and Levim are really on a continuum. They're really much more similar. So we understand the Ktsos a little bit better. I get why you would jump from Matnos Levia to Matnos Kehuna, because Levim and Kohanim themselves are very, very similar. They all have this extra Kedusha. Kohanim have even more Kedusha. Kohen Gadol has even more Kedusha. But they all have extra Kedusha. So the jump from one to the other is not the biggest jump in the world. However, it is fairly clear, and this is Rosenzweig wrote an article about years ago, that if you look in the Rambam, that's not true at all. And the Rambam seems to distinguish at every opportunity the difference between Kohanim and Levim in very, very fundamental ways. How so? So if you look at the sheet, we have like this. Kohanim in the Koteres, the Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, the Rambam writes like this. Look at the difference. Kohanim is Lekadesh HaKohen LaAvoda. Non-Kohanim is SheYavod HaLevi B'Mikdash. The Levi does Avoda to sanctify the Kohen for Avoda. What's the difference? Kohanim have Kedusha. Levi, no reference, but he works, no Kedusha. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash Paragim Halacha Aleph. Zera Levi Kulo Muvdal La'avodas HaMikdash. Look at the Rambam about Kohanim. Kohanim are Huvdal Mikal Nevi'im. U'mitvah Sehi Lahavdil Kohanim U'lekacham U'lehachinam L'karban. Levi'im have no Kedusha. Levi'im just get what? Levi'im get separated. Kohanim have extra Kedusha. In Sefer and Mitzvos also, Levi'im get La'avod B'Mikdash, Kohanim get to uplift them and V'Kidashto L'chol Davar Shepikdusha. Kohanim have greater Kedusha. Levi'im don't have a greater Kedusha. They have a certain focus on a certain kind of job, but they do not have the same degree of Kedusha. How does that impact Matnas Kehuna? So I found this morning, Meshech Chachma in Perek Gimel of Sefer Bamidbar, Meshech Chachma has a beautiful comment. Some of us may know, when you learn Meseches Megillah, there is a distinction between two kinds of things. There's like Tashmishe Kedusha. Tashmishe Kedusha are things that have a certain higher level of Kedusha. Tashmishe Kedusha, that's like a Sefer Torah or Tefillin. Tashmishe Kedusha, you can never throw out. You have to put into Geniza. There's also something called either like a Tashmish to Tashmish. What's a Tashmish to Tashmish? They're not really the actual, let's say you have, what's Tashmish to Kedusha? Tefillin have Kedusha. So like the box is even like Tashmishe Kedusha. the bag that you have around your tefillin bag does not really have kedusha. That's called tashmish to tashmish. Why does that matter? You can't use tashmish kedusha for mundane things. As an example, people do this sometimes. Can you take the boxes of your tefillin, have them on the table during davening, and use it as a mini shtender? People will put their sitter on those boxes. So that may not be okay. That may be called using tashmish kedusha. But if you want to take, sorry, I don't mean to be that guy. But could you take like stam money or pieces of paper that are meaningful for you and put them in the plastic bag around what's holding your tefillin? The answer is yes. It doesn't have the same degree of kedusha. Says the Meshech Chachma. We'll get there in a second. Everyone calm down. We'll get there in a second. Says the Meshech Chachma. I think this distinction found in the Gemara and Megillah comes from a din d'oraisa. Chazal didn't stam make up that distinction. It comes from a d'oraisa model. What's the d'oraisa model? Kohanim and Leviim. Says the Meshech Chachma, Kohanim have kedusha. They're used directly for kedusha. Leviim he considers to be like tashmish to tashmish. They do things, they help you, but they don't have the same degree of kedusha. What's the nafkamina? So Meshech Chachma again, the same Torah. Kohanim are fundamentally different from Leviim. Kohanim have kedusha. Leviim don't have kedusha. A fundamental distinction that exists between them, where they really do or don't have this that will also impact the nature of their matnos kahuna. Leviim are all about the job. They work. There's no inherent extra kedusha that they have per se. They're all about the work. So because they're all about the work, the money they get, the matnos kahuna which they get, is going to be, we would say, for their work, and it won't have kedusha. They don't have extra kedusha. It's not shulchan gavoa, a gift from Hashem. It's from us to them. But kohanim are kadosh. Kohanim have kedusha. Kohanim, therefore, the money they get comes directly from Hashem sometimes, some of those matanos. And their matanos have kedusha because they're fundamentally different. What may have led the Or HaChaim and what explicitly leads the Meshech Chachma to distinguishing between the matanos kahuna and the matanos levia is maybe because Kohanim and Leviim are fundamentally different. Kohanim and Leviim are not at all the same. Leviim, less kedusha. They have a job, and a job that they do. Kohanim, half kedusha. Their matnos kahuna may look different. What are two halach lemaisa nafkaminas that may emerge from this? So one, we're not speaking about the lemaisa, but two shailas. Gemara and Gittin and Daf and Tes. What happens if there's no kohen? There's no kohen. What does the Gemara say? Nisparda hachavila. The Rishonim have machlokas. Should you still give a Levi the first aliyah? Should you still give a Levi the first aliyah or not? What's that shaila based on? If a Levi really does have kedusha, so of course I should be giving him the first aliyah. Because if there's no kohen, there's still then vikidashto for a Levi. Give him the first aliyah. But if you understand that Leviim don't have kedusha, so then you don't give it to the Levi. Because the Levi's not, when there's no kohen there, the whole thing falls apart. There's no more kedusha on top. The Levi is more regular. We wouldn't give it to a Levi. What's the only thing which we don't do? I referenced it sometimes. I think it says earlier this year that when I was a kid in camp once, it was an early morning davening before we had like a tennis tournament in Wayne County. And there's like one of these like 12 people there. The guy who attends this year, the guy who was running the tennis coach was the guy running the minyan, not the biggest Talmid Chacham in the history of Klal Yisrael. So he did the only thing which I think is not found in any Rishonim, which is he said, oh, there's no Kohen, the Levi gets the first two Aliyahs. No, that's not true. The Levi does not get the first two Aliyahs. A Kohen, then a Levi, is only a Kohen, he gets both Aliyahs. What about an Ir Shakula Kohanim? It's only Kohanim there? That's Rabbi Yerucham, which is really, really important, not for now. But that's that. What's the second Nafkamina? And then we'll pause for some questions. What's the second Nafkamina? The second Nafkamina has to do with Zimun. This question comes up all the time at a Shabbos table. What comes up? So the guy, the Balavayas, doesn't want to leave benching. Because the Gemara one day it says the Oreach should be Mevarich. It's good for the guest to be the one that. The Gemara says that the Balavayas, again, one day in the Gemara, should cut the challah. Why should the Balavayas cut the challah? because he'll be more generous. If it's not your house and you're there, you're going to be a little bit more stingy. You're going to be a little more nervous about Ba'ai Shkivet Chala. But the bracha should come from the Oreach. So what do you say sometimes? Any Kohanim? And you look around and no Kohanim. Then someone says, any Levium? And someone else responds, this happens all the time in meals. Wait, do Levium go first when there's no Kohanim or not? Like, do we do that or not do that? That happens all the time at meals. I think I've seen it happen a bunch of times. So what's the deal with that? So that's Machlokes HaPoskim. Machlokes HaPoskim. The tour with Maharari Rittenberg, Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan. That's not between the Aruch HaShulchan. I think at the end of the day, it's Machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. Mishnah Berurah says it could be that you should give it to a Levi. The Levi does something extra. The Aruch HaShulchan says Levi has no Kedusha. Why are you giving it to a Levi? Why are you giving it to a Levi? That really, in many ways, is the same question about the gap between Levi and Kohen. How much of Kohen is built on top of a Levi, how much is not, and questions like that. There are a host of other sugyas this relates to, which we will not be speaking about right now, but some of them relate to what happens if you have a Kohen. One is interesting questions. I'll see you right now. All of these people, if they get knocked down from their level, how far down do they fall? If a Jew is putter from mitzvos, you're a suma. You're a blind person. The Gemara Baba Kama for some days, you're putter from mitzvos. Are you still like a non-Jew in Chayiv and Shemesh B'nei Noach, or are you not Chayiv and Shemesh B'nei Noach? A similar question, if you're a Kohen who does something to lose your Kohen status, or you were a Kohen and you're a Chalal, something like that, do you fall back to being a Levi, or are you off of it entirely? How do these different Madregas all fit together? Those are all big questions. Hopefully, again, we try to deepen it. Sometimes I've spoken before, but try to deepen it with different kinds of Manas Kahuna, the relationship between Kohen and Levi in general, and the way that all comes together. Let's pause for some questions and...